Praise the Lord, it is good to be back, and I thank you all very, very much for your support over these many, many years, and it's been a great partnership. And I just wanted to tell you, before we see the video, do not take for granted what you have right here. As missionaries, we travel all over the place. When I was on deputation, I preached in 150 different churches, and we don't have that many that support us. Praise God, though, I'd have to travel to all of those again. But we go to a lot of churches, and they're not like this. They're not all like this. You are blessed. You have a tremendous facility. You have tremendous music, and you have a tremendous pastor. Praise God. Praise God for what He has done here, and don't ever take it for granted. And just realize how blessed you really are. Don't ever. And my wife said that one day. She says, I don't think American people really realize how blessed they really are. Don't ever take for granted what you have in this place. Praise God, it's good to be here. And I'm going to let the video speak for us tonight. You're my guinea pigs. This is our first furlough meeting. This is the first time this video just was made, put on DVD about 4 days ago. The only ones that have seen it is my pastor and the pastoral staff of our home church. So you're the first church to see this video. I think you'll find it a little bit different than many of the missionary videos that you've seen before. I pray it's a blessing to you. Fellows, if you would show that video, please. David and Joy Lewis, your missionaries to the U.S. military in South Korea. We are sent by and through our home church, the Madison Baptist Church, located in Madison, Alabama, where our pastor is Dr. Mike Allison. For the past 13 and a half years, I have been the pastor of Yongsan Baptist Church, located in Seoul, South Korea. Yongsan Baptist Church is an old-fashioned King James Bible preaching, independent, fundamental Baptist church. In the years that I have been here, I have seen over 600 people from 9 different nations born again and baptized. I have seen 20 U.S. servicemen or their family members, 2 Korean men, 3 Filipino men, 2 African men surrender for the ministry, and many more develop some biblical standards of holiness in their lives. The average Sunday morning attendance of Yongsan Baptist Church has been 80 people and is a very culturally diverse congregation, with Americans, Koreans, and a variety of other nations being represented. I have always considered the ministry of Yongsan Baptist Church to be Christian basic training. Most of the time, we have our people for only 1 year. That means I have 1 year to get them saved, preach the devil out of them, and preach as much Bible into them as I can. Therefore, much of the teaching and preaching is to exhort the children of God in the matter of holiness and personal separation. Before the child of God can walk, he must take the first step of obedience. Before the fruit can be enjoyed, there is much labor to do. We spend much time on the streets of our community, witnessing to people both in the written and spoken word. Matthew 19:14, but Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. We have a variety of ministries for the children, one of which is King's Kids. We also have our annual Vacation Bible School. We generally average more than 70 children per day. The children memorize and quote more than 900 verses of Scripture. The greatest part of the whole VBS week is that we see about 24 precious children saved every year. We are greatly blessed to have families where the parents' desire was to train up their children for the Lord, so they first gave those children back to the Lord. No church is complete without missions. Annually, we have a missions revival. We spend much time teaching the importance of Faith Promise missions. It is important to us that when our people rotate back to the U.S. and join churches like yours, that they already have a heart for souls and missions. Through the faithful giving of our people, Yongsan Baptist Church has been able to support 36 missionaries. We feel that one of the greatest ministries that God has given us is our home ministry. The servicemen know that our home is their home. Thanksgiving and Christmas are the most difficult times to be away from family, so our folks know that we are their family, and they spend the holidays with us. They spend much time fellowshipping, solving the problems of the world, and eating. Sometimes they come over just to get away from everything and relax. We would like for you to see some of the wonderful people that God has allowed us to minister to over the past few years. The greatest challenge of this ministry has been leaving it. Just before leaving for furlough, I resigned as the pastor of Yongsan Baptist Church. The U.S. military in Korea is consolidating many of the camps into a larger centralized location. The base that we have been serving will be closing and moving south. So when we return to Korea in March of 2014, we will be planting a new church. The new church, Victory Baptist Church, will be located just outside of Osan Air Force Base. Yongsan Baptist Church will continue to serve the community of Itaewon under the leadership of missionary Rob Utman. He will transition the church from a military work into one reaching the South Korean people. In the day and age in which we live, our servicemen and women are continually being placed in harm's way. Each one of them has taken an oath to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. They are ready to give their lives to protect our freedoms. Many of them have gone out into eternity protecting our great nation from those that would destroy us and our way of life. We have a great responsibility to pray for them, preach to them, and bring them to Jesus. The Apostle Paul said that he was a debtor, and I think we must say the same thing. We owe our military a great debt of gratitude, and we owe them the Lord Jesus Christ. I firmly believe that we serve America's greatest mission field, the United States military. Without our mission field, there would be no American missionaries on any mission field. A preacher once said that no Christian should ever be in the military. That may be one of the most foolish statements ever made. That would mean that only lost people would fight and die for our rights and freedoms. Lost people go to hell when they die. It doesn't matter that they're serving their country and protecting our freedoms. When they die, they go to hell. I therefore believe that all of those men and women defending our freedoms should be saved people. If our nation's finest will be saved, someone must go to where they are and deliver the gospel message to them. God has called us to go. What will you do? Thank you for your faithful support to this ministry that God has blessed us with, and continue to pray for us, our great nation, and for those who willingly lay their lives on the line every day in its defense.
Thank you. Now, if you have any questions about, if you have any questions at all about what we do or what's going on or anything at all, we're an open book, and you can meet us there at the table. We'll answer any questions that you have. I do appreciate your input on our videos, and we have many more places to show that. If there's something that you could say we could add or change in any way, please let me know. Just let us know at the table out there. We'd appreciate your input. Have you opened your Bibles tonight? We're going to do a very simple message, and I pray it'll be a very short, straightforward message. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, very familiar verses of Scripture. One of the old preachers that trained me some years ago, one of the first things he taught us to do in Bible college was to put it on the bottom shelf. That's what he told us to do. Put it on the bottom shelf. He said, so everybody can reach it. I'm not a theologian. I'm a preacher of the Word of God. And I like to deliver it so everybody can understand it and everybody can get something from it. So look with me in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Very familiar verses. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even to the end of the world. Amen. Now what I want to do to get this message started is I need two volunteers. One, I need a five-year-old boy. Is there a five-year-old boy that'll help me out? Or a six-year-old boy that'll help me out? Just give me one. Somebody, come on over here, buddy. Come on over here. Come on over here. What's your name? Blake? All right, you're my partner for just a minute, okay? Now I need a very large man. Now, I don't want a little man. I want a big man. A big man right over here. You see that big man over there? He's kind of scary looking, isn't he? All right. I want you to do me a favor. I'm going to give you this. I want you to go and give that to him. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that very much. He just defined the word go for you in visible form. How old are you, Blake? 6 years old. If a six-year-old boy can obey the command to go, so can everybody else in here. If a six-year-old boy can understand what it means to go, so can everybody else in here. So we've got no excuses about not understanding what it means to go. Now we full well understand that. So that's what we want to talk about tonight. We want to talk about the Great Commission, or go. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, the Scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Great promise from God. Very simple promise to understand. Very simple promise to get a hold of. However, for people to call, they must hear. For them to hear, someone must go where they are and deliver the truth to them, or they can never call. So somebody has to go if they are going to hear. And see, that requires obedience on the part of the children of God. And I want you to understand that command, go, is to the children of God. It's not just to the preachers. It is to everybody here. It is to every person that's ever been born again. That command is for all of us, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. None of us can give excuse as to why we can't go. He's given that command. The Lord has given that command to each and every one of us. Going into all the world, it's simple. It really is. It doesn't require a call from God. You understand that? Going into the world, preaching the gospel, doesn't require a call from God. It doesn't require a great education. It doesn't require great intellect or great intelligence. What it does require is obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it requires, is that we obey Him and go do what He said. Go preach the gospel to every creature. Now, you may not be able to go into a foreign land to do that, unless you consider Indiana a foreign land. But you live here. You can go here. You can obey that command right here. See, so it doesn't require you to go to Bible college. It doesn't require for you to get a degree in theology. It just requires you to obey that simple command that little boy just showed us. That's all it requires, is that we obey the command to go. So I want to give you just some simple things here. First off, why do we go? Why do we go? The answer is simple. We go because we're commanded to go. That's why we go. We don't have to pray about it. We don't have to wonder, is it for me? Should I go? We just obey. That's why we go. It's just pure obedience. Jesus said this in John chapter 14 and verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now let me ask you, is the command to go a command from Christ? It is, isn't it? It's a command from Jesus Christ. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now you have to decide, do you love him or not? If you don't go, you don't love him because you're not obeying his commandments. Pretty simple, isn't it? It's just like 1 + 1. It adds up real well, easy to do. If you love him, you'll go because he's commanded us to go. That's one of the many things he's told us to do. Not at any time did he indicate that that was something for us to wonder about. There's no question mark on go. It's a command. It's not something left for us to decide whether or not we'd like to or if we want to. You know, I get so discouraged by Christians that come up with every excuse under the sun as to why they can't do whatever it is Christ said to do. I can't go to church because I got, preacher said this, I got family coming over. Just every excuse under the sun as to why they can't do what God said do. I heard one of my preacher friends, he said he knocked on a man's door and he invited the man out to church and the man said, I can't go. He said, why can't you go? He said, well, I got meat in the freezer. He said, you got meat in the freezer? What does that have to do with not going to church? He said, nothing at all, but it's as good an excuse as any other one I could give. That's the way we are. We got an excuse for everything. Why can't you go? Well, because, well, I limp when I walk, and I don't want anybody to see me limping. That's an excuse. That's not a reason. Why can't you go? Well, I may die next week. You may die tomorrow. That's no excuse for you not going. Well, I got to work. There's people there where you work. You can go there. He said, well, I got to stop and get gas. There's people there. You can go there. You stop for donuts and coffee on the way to work, on the way to school, there's people there. There's no reason why we can't obey this command. None at all. There's people everywhere we go. Everywhere. If you live in Korea like we do, you can't go anywhere. I mean, even to the bathroom without somebody being there. There's 20 million people in the city where we live. You can't go anywhere without there being people. And it's true that way all over the world. Everywhere you go, there's going to be somebody. So there's no reason why you cannot go. There's no reason why you cannot obey that command. You know, if God says something once, that's enough. He doesn't have to say it multiple times. If he says it one time, that's enough. How many parents are in here? But if you told your son or your daughter, go make your bed, and they say, well, I'll pray about that. That would not be an acceptable answer, would it? I'll get back to you after I've had a time of prayer. That would not be acceptable. You expect them to obey you right now. You expect them to do exactly what you told them to do. How many times do you want to tell them? If you're like me as a dad, I want to tell them once. My daughters knew if I had to say it more than once, there was an attitude adjustment coming just before the second time. There was going to be a measure taken to make them never want to disobey that command again. And that's the way we should be as parents, one time. That's what God expects. He can say something one time, and that's enough. He doesn't have to tell us multiple times. Well, he only said that once, so maybe he really didn't mean it. Yes, he did. But this command to go, he didn't just say once. He said it 5 times in the New Testament. 5 times in the New Testament. You think he's serious? I do. If he says it once, that's enough, but he said it 5 times. In the New Testament alone, we saw the first time in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There's time number two. I'm not going to read all these. You can look them up. Luke chapter 24, verse 46 through 48, he tells us to go there. In John chapter 20 and verse 21, he tells us to go there. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he tells us to go there. 5 times. 5 times he's told us to go and preach the gospel to every creature. I think he is serious about that. You know how serious he is about it? From the cross, that was the last thing Jesus did, was win somebody to himself. That's what he did before he ascended to heaven. And what did he do before he ascended to heaven? He told his disciples to go. I think he's serious about it. He wants us to go and tell people about Jesus Christ. See, without Jesus, well, the world's in a hurt. Because he's the only hope for the world. He's the only hope for any man. Each of those passages gives us the Great Commission. The Great Commission is really the great command, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And it's the responsibility of every born-again believer. There's not one person in here that can't do that. Not one. There was a little boy in our home church, Andrew Brown. Andrew Brown, when he was 6 years old, I used to take Andrew out soul winning with me on Redstone Arsenal, which is the army post in North Alabama. And I would take him out there. And Andrew, at 6 years old, he was an amazing little kid as a soul winner. He'd go up to a soldier on guard duty, and he'd look at his weapon, and he'd say, "That is really cool. The Army lets you shoot that?" You know, and he'd ask him questions like that. And he said, "Can I look at your helmet?" And they'd let him see the helmet. And he wanted to see all their stuff. He said, "Man, that's really great. The Army gives you all that cool stuff." He says, "But will that keep you from dying?" And they'd say, "Well, no." He says, "Well, what's going to happen when you die?" Open door for soul winning. 6-year-old boy. He would do that stuff. Andrew now is 23 years old. Just got married. He's graduating with his master's from Bible college. He's going to Korea as a missionary. Started when he was 6 as a soul winner. There's no excuse. There's no reason why everyone in here cannot tell somebody about Jesus. Children at school, teenagers at school, moms and dads in the workplace, where you go shopping, you can tell them. There's no reason we can't get this done. No reason at all. And it's a command from God. And it's given to every single one of us to go and do it. That next question, where do we go? I mean, he says to go, but where do we go? He breaks that down for us. Matthew 28:19 says every nation. Mark 16:15, he says all the world. In Luke 24:47, he says all nations. In Acts 1:8, he breaks it down for us real clear. He gives us a very plain and simple description as to where we're supposed to go. Acts 1:8, he says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses." And there's that command again. "You shall be witnesses unto me, both," cool word, we'll talk about that in a minute, "both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So he breaks it down for us. He said, Jerusalem, that's our city. That's where we are. That's where we live. That's our Jerusalem. Then he says Judea. That could be the state or on out into other regions of our nation. And then he said Samaria. That's the ugly place. Samaria is the place the Jews would not go. They would cross over the Jordan River and go around Samaria when they were going from Jerusalem to Galilee, and then they would come back in again when they passed Samaria. They wouldn't go there. He said Samaria. He said go to Samaria. Well, what is Samaria for you and I? Well, Samaria for you and I might be, if you're a poor man, it might be the rich neighborhood. If you're a rich man, it might be the poor neighborhood. It might be that Muslim neighborhood. Speaking of that, in Seoul, South Korea, where we minister at, there's 100,000 Muslims in our neighborhood. From Iran, Afghanistan, Iraq, all over the Middle East and Persia, they're everywhere. The central mosque is on top of the hill from my house. I've been there. I've been inside the mosque twice praying. I went to the mosque to pray. And I took some young soul winners with me, and we went in the mosque and we stood along the back wall. They let us go in. So we went in and we stood along the back wall and we prayed for all those people that were bowing on the floor. I figured our prayers get higher than theirs did even in the mosque. And so we were praying inside the mosque for those Muslim people. You know, we as Christians, we as Americans, we have a tendency to want to hate a Muslim. Jesus loved them. He died for them. I mean, obviously our soldiers are dying on battlefields fighting in nations where they are Islamic. But we're not doing that because we hate them. We shouldn't be. Jesus loved them. They need the gospel too. So we need to go where they are also. That could be Samaria for you and I, going to where the Muslims are. You know, we had a young, he's not a young man. For some of you, he would be. He was 63 years old. He came to our churches and he got saved, and I baptized him, and his name was Muhammad. Not the Muhammad. He's been dead a long time. This was a Muhammad, and he's a Muslim from Iran. Muhammad got saved in our church in Korea. And I baptized him in a semi-secluded service. We closed all the doors because the embassy from Iran is just up the street from our church, and he was scared that they might find out and have him beheaded in his country. And so he asked if we could close the doors and kind of keep it hush-hush. And so we did that. And after 3 or 4 weeks of being saved, Muhammad came to me and he says, "Pastor, could I change my name?" I said, "Well, sure you could, but why do you want to change your name?" He said, "I just don't think Muhammad's a good name for a Christian." He said, "Could I change it?" "Sure you can. What do you want to be called?" He said, "Just call me Michael." And so now he's Michael Muhammad. But he got saved. Why did he get saved? Because Jesus loves him and Jesus sent somebody to tell about Jesus to him. And he got saved. We've had 3 Muslims saved in our church there in Korea. One from Pakistan, one from Nigeria, and one from Iran. Praise God for that. We're there to reach the military, but God's letting us reach other people too. But that could be Samaria. Those Muslim neighborhoods. Because we're kind of scared of those people. You know, you see that ninja coming down the street. I mean, that lady in the burqa coming down the street. And that's scary to us. They need Jesus. That could be Samaria for many of us. That place that's outside our comfort zone. We don't like that, do we? Getting outside of our comfort zone. That's Samaria. That's where he said where to go. And then he says, the world. That would be pretty much everywhere else. So where are we supposed to go? Everywhere. Anywhere there's people breathing God's air, that's where we're supposed to go. So it's very simple to figure out where we should go. But then there's that really, remember I said that cool word, both, that's in that verse? That word may be one of the most powerful words in that verse. That word both is telling us that we are to go to all of those places, to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth at the same time. You say, "What? That's impossible. How can I go to all of those places at the same time?" Missions. That's how you do it. You as an individual Christian, no, you can't go to all of those places at the same time. But that's what that word both means. We're to do it all, and we're to do it all at the same time. That means you've got to have missions or you can't fulfill the Great Commission. It's impossible. You can't do it. You can't go into all the world and be here at the same time. That requires missions. Now, what you as an individual believer are supposed to do, you're supposed to go as far as you can go. You're supposed to give all you can give, all of yourself, to reaching people with the gospel. Go as far as you can go. Give as sacrificially as you can give so that others can go. And you're to use and support every means available to get the gospel to those outside of where you can go. Every means available. You're to use that to reach the world with the gospel. And see, that means that every single one of us, and I don't care who you are, you must be involved with the missions program of your local church. You must be. Praise God, it's faith promise. That's what we do in Korea as well. And you know what we do? We have our parents teach their children, even 6-year-olds, to fill out a faith promise card and trust God to provide what they put on that card. So now if they write down, you know, $1 million, we realize that they're only 6. But we want the children to get involved in faith promise. If you teach your children early to give, it'll become a habit for life. So teach them to give to missions while they're little bitty people. And that way when they get to be big people, they'll keep doing that. Every one of us needs to be involved in the missions program of our local church. Well, what do we go for? Isn't this a simple message? Very simple, isn't it? What do we go for? We go to obey the command of God. We go that the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified. We go that He be honored before the peoples of the world. We go that men and women, boys and girls might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And here's what, well, Paul told Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul told Timothy why to go. He says, "I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." Why do we go? Preach the word. That's why we go. There's nothing else going to save anyone. We must preach the word. You know, we don't go to the mission field to teach people how to be farmers. There's a lot of people think that's what missionaries do. We go to teach people how to grow corn. I don't know anything about growing corn. I can't grow anything. It dies within seconds of coming up. I don't go to teach people how to farm. I don't go to teach people how to cook. I can teach them how to eat, but I can't teach them how to cook. That's not why we go. We go to preach the Word. That's what a missionary is for. They're to go to preach the Word. And that's what you and I, all of us, are for. To preach the Word. If we don't, they'll die and go to hell. Somebody has got to go and preach the Word. Well, let's look at some other things. Matthew, he says, teach all nations. So Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. In Matthew, he says, teach all nations. In Mark, he says, preach the gospel. In Acts, he says, ye are to be witnesses unto him. So going involves two major tasks. Now I want you to get this. We fall short a lot of times as churches in this matter of the Great Commission. The Great Commission is two things. It's two parts. If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, that's where he tells us to go. Chapter 20, he tells us to teach them all things. So we're to go and win them to Christ, and then we are to disciple them and make them soul winners so they can keep that ball rolling. So they can continue going to reach more. Churches have fallen short in that. Oh, many, I mean, even some of the lame churches out there are good about winning people to Christ, and they leave them babies. Babies don't go soul winning. Babies don't reach people for Christ. Babies don't plant churches. Babies don't help churches to grow. Babies don't help other Christians to grow. So we've got to win them to the Lord, and then we've got to train them. And we've got to prepare them to go and do the same thing again. And there's not one person in here that can't do that. You say, well, I don't know how to tell somebody how to get saved. How did you get saved? You can give a testimony. You got one. You were there when Jesus saved you. You can tell someone what He did for you. And then you can bring them. You say, well, I don't know how to carry them any further. There's others in here that do. Hey, let me take you to my preacher. Let me take you to my youth pastor. Let me take you to our song leader. Let me take you to one of our deacons. Let me take you to my Sunday school class. He'll teach you how to know more. If you don't know how to do it, take him to somebody that does. But be involved. Obey the command. Fulfill both parts of the Great Commission. Go and tell them and then teach and train them to do the same thing over and over and over again. We're to preach the Word. What part of the Word? It's kind of a big book. And there's a lot of the Word. What is it that gets people saved? Well, we're to preach the gospel to every nation. What is the gospel? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. I won't read the verses for sake of time. You can do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Paul tells us what the gospel is. In a nutshell, the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is it. You don't add anything to it. You don't take anything from it. I was witnessing to a Korean man, and he said, well, I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that He was buried, but I just don't believe He rose up from the grave. Then you can't get saved because you believe He's just like me. Because I'm going to die and I'm going to go to the grave, but I can't get up on my own accord. Jesus has got to do that. And if He can't believe in the resurrection, you can't be saved. So you can't leave anything off. It's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what we must deliver to the world. Paul says this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Are you? He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. If you're a child of God today, it's the gospel that saved you. What do you have to be ashamed of? Man, it's the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ that gave you eternal life. It's that blood that was shed on the cross that washed you clean from your sin. Are you ashamed of that? I would hope not. It should be something you'd want to tell the world about. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God unto salvation. So what is it we need to tell them? We need to tell them what has the power. The gospel. That's the power of God unto salvation. You can't tell them a story and expect them to get saved. You've got to give them the power of God unto salvation. They need the gospel. They need to know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, paid their sin on the cross of Calvary, that He was buried, and 3 days later, victoriously, He rose up from the grave, and He did that just for them, and they need that truth. That's what you and I as Christians are all about. That's what missions is all about. See, the mission field is anybody that doesn't have Christ as Savior. The missionary is anybody that does. So that makes everybody in here that's born again a missionary in your own rights. We're all responsible for sharing this marvelous truth so that people can be saved and go to heaven when they die. That's what all of us are left here to do. You know, the Jews hated Samaria. They wouldn't go there. But Jesus did. He said, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? There was a woman at a well. You know that story? There was a woman at a well. She needed to know who the Savior was. She met Him there that day. Praise God. Wouldn't you like to do that? Just walk up to the well and find Jesus there. Someday we will, huh? Amen. I didn't walk up to the well, but I did sit on the back pew of a church and I met Jesus back there. You can meet Jesus. You don't have to go to the well. But this woman, she was at the well. And Jesus came to where she was at, and she got saved. You know, that was in Samaria. Too many times you and I look at people and we decide, I'm not telling them. I'm not going to tell them. Look at them. Got tattoos all over them. Got that weird hairstyle. Got earrings all over their body. Look like a tackle box blew up in their face. I'm not telling them anything. We make a very, very dangerous judgment, don't we? We decide who it is that deserves to hear. We don't have that right. We don't have that authority. There's not a person on this planet that does not deserve to hear. You know, I was in a church in Mississippi when I was on deputation down in Natchez, Mississippi. And I was going to preach there the next morning, and as I was wandering through their church building, I was looking at their missionaries, and they had missionaries all over the world, as you do here. They had missionaries in Africa and Asia and different places, and then I got to noticing, we had a dinner that night, and I got to noticing at the dinner something very peculiar. See, this little church, it was just a little white church, a little country kind of a church, but it was located in an all-black neighborhood. Everybody in the neighborhood was black folk. The school across the street, the neighbors to the church across the street. And I went to that dinner, and there was no black people at the dinner. I said to the preacher, I said, sir, how can you have a church in a black community and not have any black folks coming to the church? He said, oh, if I brought a black man in here, they'd run me off. I thought, you sorry people. I looked at their missions board. They sent people to Africa to reach black people with the gospel, and they wouldn't go tell their neighbor. So you know what I did? They don't support me. I was preaching the next morning, and I got up in the pulpit, and I had them open their Bible, I don't remember to where, and I said, could you imagine belonging to a church that would send a missionary to Africa to reach a black man in a country across the seas, but wouldn't go next door to their neighbor and tell the black man next door about Jesus? Could you imagine being in a church like that? It got real quiet. They had made a judgment on who deserved to hear. We don't have that right. Everybody that breathes God's air deserves to hear the gospel message. I don't care where they're from. I don't care what their language is, what their skin color is. I don't care what mental deficiencies they might have or what deformities they might have. They deserve to hear the gospel message. You're not special. I'm not special. But we all deserve to hear. Everybody in the world does. We got to throw off prejudices and things like that and go tell the world. Everybody needs to hear the marvelous truth that Jesus saves. I'm going to get down to the end here in a minute. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, then Peter opened his mouth and said, oh, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. We can't be either. We can't be either. You know, Peter, he wouldn't go originally. He wouldn't go until God showed him there was what he made clean was clean. There's a lot of lost people. That doesn't make them unclean. They're lost. They need what we've got. And God's not a respecter of persons, and we can't be either. Poor people need to get saved. Rich people need to get saved. I don't care what their skin color is. Everybody needs to be saved. Everybody. You know, there's not sections of heaven. You know, the Asians over here and the Europeans over there. No, there's not. There's heaven. And everybody goes to the same one. And everybody deserves the same truth because that is the only truth, the gospel message that Jesus saved, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. Everyone deserves that message. You know, if God saved you, He'll save anybody. He really will. You're not anything special. I know some of you think you are. You need to look in the mirror with honest eyes and you'll recognize, man, what is that? Oh, that's me. You're not special. None of us are. None of us deserve the gospel. Every one of us deserves is a flame in hell. That's all we deserve. But praise God, by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, you and I have the gospel truth. We have the Savior. Now we need to deliver Him to the world without compromise and without prejudice. We need to go into all the world. All hate and anger and prejudice has got to be thrown off, and we've got to tell the world. Well, when do we go? When do we go? We better go now. We better go now. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says this, "For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee." Now get this. "Behold, now." Now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now. When do we go? Now. We can't wait any longer. People are dying every second. People are dying every minute. In the length of time that we've been here, there's multitudes that have gone out into eternity. We have got to go now. I hear people all the time, "Well, I'll go when my kids graduate from high school. I'll go when my kids graduate from college. I'll go when my kids are old enough to be able to whatever." Quit lying. If you won't go now, you won't go then. You're just making excuses. We got to go now. Not later. Not when I have more money. Not when I have a better opportunity. Not when the kids are grown and gone. No, I got to go now. I got to go now. We can't delay any longer. People are dying this very minute. John chapter 4 and verse 35. He says, "Say not ye there, yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest." Get what he says. "Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest." Great command there. You know, if you don't lift up your eyes, you will not see. And I think that's what most of us want to be. We want to be blind. We don't want to see the need. So we don't ever lift up our eyes. He's commanded us, lift up our eyes and look on the fields. They're white already to harvest. If we were talking about agriculture, it would be going to seed. It'd be ready to go into the ground as seed. It'd be white. Every time I think about white unto harvest, I think about, you know, we're from Alabama. We live down there. In the fall season, the cotton turns white. And you look out across the cotton field. In the summer, it's beautiful flowers in the cotton field, smells nice. But when the cotton is white unto harvest, when it pops open and it's white cotton, the farmers have got to get it in. If they don't get it in, it'll be worthless. It'll be good for nothing. Jesus says, our harvest field is white unto harvest. That means they're dying in the field. We have no time to delay. We must go now. James 4:14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow." None of us knows what tomorrow is going to bring. You might win $1 million tomorrow, or you might be put in a casket tomorrow. None of us knows what tomorrow is going to bring. He says, we don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. He says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Our life, you know, compared to eternity, you could live 100 years here on this earth and you still lived only a short time. Eternity is on and on and on. It's forever. So he says our life is just a vapor. We're only here for a short time. But so is everybody else. And without Jesus, that short time is a dangerous time for them. Because when their light is snuffed out, hell is the next thing they'll see without Jesus Christ. A little girl was asked, "Why are you working so hard?" She says, "I've only got one candle and it's almost burned out." That's the way our life is. Only have one. Only have one. And when it's burned out, I don't get another one. I can't go to the box and get another one out. And sometimes there's a disease that creeps in and shortens it even more, huh? We don't know when death's going to come. Not one of us knows when death's going to come knocking on our door. The world is the same way. If you're saved today, praise God, you've got a responsibility. Somebody out there needs to hear. Their life may end tomorrow. You think about all those folks in Oklahoma that went out into eternity over the last several days. I don't know that they were saved. I don't know that they weren't. I pray they were prepared for eternity. But what if they weren't? It's too late to reach them. We've got to get them now. We've got to go right now. Someone must go into all the world. Someone. My wife and I, we're going to go back to South Korea where we minister to the military, and I praise God we minister to all the military. See, I'm retired Army guy. I spent 21 years in the Army. I'm a retired bomb disposal guy. I blew things up for a living, kept things from blowing up for a living. And I'm not a respecter of persons. I mean, I want a Marine saved as much as I want a soldier saved. I want an airman saved as much as I want a sailor saved. I love them all. I love them all. I want to see every one of them come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the way we have to be about all people. Someone has to go into all the world and tell them. And we must be ready to go at every moment. We must be ready to tell them at every moment. That means you've got to learn some things from your Bible. You may not always have your Bible handy to tell somebody. You better have something here and here. But you can be ready to tell them. We have a great responsibility to reach the world, to go into the world. We must remember the lost world need the truth. Whether they want it or not, they don't recognize they need it. We must go. And we must make them realize the need that they have. And then we need to bring them Jesus. See, if we don't, well, we're going to stand before God and give an account. We're going to answer for not going. But that's a whole lot easier than where they're going. If we don't tell them, they'll go to hell. They'll get no opportunities. They'll have no hope. They won't even get that one drop of water on their tongue. They'll suffer for all of eternity if we don't go. The gospel must go forth to every land, to every man, to every woman, to every boy, to every girl. How many will die without Jesus? How many already have? Because we have been slack in our responsibility. We've not been faithful in what we're commanded to do. People are dying every day. How many are going to die and go to hell because you failed? You personally failed. How many? I mean, think about it. You, like I, have friends and family members that are not saved. We all know people that are not saved. We all have someone we can make an impact. We can make a difference. How many will die and go to hell because you personally failed them? We have a job to do, folks. We've been commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel. How many will go to hell because you refuse to obey? Because you refuse to do what God said do? So how about it? Who is going to get involved with the outreach program of this local church? Who is going to support or give money to support missionaries? Who's going to take gospel tracts like that little fellow did and take them to people and give them out? Who's going to go knocking on doors? Who's going to get in that soul-winning class that Pastor's been talking about? And get involved with going out and telling people the truth that they need to hear so that when they die, they can go where we're going, to heaven. Who's going to go? Who's going to commit themselves to be obedient unto the Lord Jesus Christ?